said, he will build his church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Buildings might be closed, but you cannot stop God's people getting together. It's so powerful. So bless you guys. It's special having each and every single one of you here. We love you and appreciate you. We're going through challenging, tough times, isn't it? Really, really challenging times, but God is good. God stays the same. And the only constant is change. But God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I got something very, very brief, but very exciting and very challenging and also very simple to share with you this morning. And I can't really extend it because there's not much that you can add to it. And this morning's message is just simply entitled, God's Faithfulness. I'm talking about two things this morning. There's basically only two things that we need to be able to survive absolutely anything that the devil throws at us. Only two things. It is really simple. And one of those things is already a definite guarantee. It is guarantee. It's not something we have to concern ourselves with. It's not something that we have to try and do or try and get from somewhere. Only two things. If these two elements are present in our lives, you can guarantee that you will be able to stand against anything that the devil throws against you. Do you want to hear what it is? Okay. Make sure you come back next week where we will. Only two things. Number one, God's faithfulness. We need God's faithfulness. And the second thing, this is where it gets challenging. This is where our responsibility comes into it. The second thing that we need to be able to withstand anything that the devil throws against us is our obedience. That's it. Strictly speaking, I can stop right now, close the laptop, bless you, and say, go home. Because you can't really add to that. But we're going to unpack a few scriptures this morning. And if these two things are present in our lives, God's faithfulness and our obedience, my brother, my sister, no demon, no devil, no lie, no government, no schemes of man will be able to stand against you standing in a place of obedience in your lives. And what I believe one of the reasons why God dropped the Simard is because I looked at how unreliable things and people are around me. I know you're not experiencing any of that at all. Things are just working around you. The municipality is flourishing. The taxes are being properly utilized. You can rely on the emergency and police services. No disrespect to any of them. It's just working. The mayors, the councillors in your area that are working for whatever political parties in operation. Everything is just working, right? You have constant supply. I mean, because it's 2021, you have constant supply of electricity and water. All of that stuff is there. The roads are fine. The infrastructure, all of that's just fine. I know that, isn't it? And because of those inconsistencies and this vandag hier, môre is dit nie daar nie. Maar nie is môre nie, vandag nog. Jy begin die dag as 'n dag, einde van die dag is nie meer daar nie. Ons het vanoggend hier aangekom, maar was krag. Dis daar nie krag nie. But God's faithfulness. It's like dropped him out, like, yes, Lord, that's not changing. And folks, these two ingredients, if that is present in our lives, yes, so feel him all, let's look for guarantees. What is the guarantee on this thing that I'm buying? What is the guarantee? You can't find guarantees, but there's this guarantee in the Word. You can be guaranteed of God's faithfulness. Let's just look at his track record. How many times has God not done what he said he's going to do? Please raise your hand if God has let you down. Please raise your hand if God has shown himself a liar just once. I mean, just once. Please raise your hand if there's, like, the earth has stopped turning on its axis because there's been a glitch in the mechanism. Please raise your hand if somehow there's been total chaos in the whole universe where the stars are flying all over the place and planets are crashing into each other. Show me that. Please show me the moment where swaartekrag, is that the word for gravity? Where that suddenly stopped, we all just start floating in space. Like, At school, we used to say, gravity is a myth. The earth sucks. That's not true. Please show me when those things have happened. You know, we experience changes in our seasons and stuff like that because we're just a little bit closer or a little bit further away from our closest star, which is the sun. And we experience that. We experience tides because of the moon's proximity to the earth. Show me when that has just been out of order just a little bit. Show me when the, all the ingredients that need to be in the soil are there and the light is right and the water's there, that life doesn't just happen. Show me when that has not happened. That's God's track record. Fast forward to us here now. Our obedience. And guys, I'm not a ghostbuster. Bedoelende, ek soekie vir spooke agter elke bos of elke klip nie. And demonize anything and everything. Somebody once said that everything is demonic until it's proved that it's not. But let's just say we have a healthy kingdom balance in everything, all right? Our obedience needs to be present for the promises of God to come to pass. It is simple as that. Those two ingredients we need. So scripturally speaking, look, follow on the screen or follow on your phone or in your Bible if you saw. How many of you got a physical Bible here this morning? Yay, hallelujah. Okay. Psalm 36, verse 5 to 9. Your unfailing love, O Lord. Let's just stop there, unfailing. We can just unpack there and visit around that word, but we're going to carry on. Your unfailing love, O Lord, is as vast as the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches beyond the clouds. Try and understand the context of when the psalmist is writing this. They didn't have planes, trains, or automobiles. Things that did, telescopes that they could see planets and stars and stuff like that beyond what the natural eye could see at the nighttime sky. So the psalmist was trying to describe how big and how far God's faithfulness can reach. It's just as like far as what we can see. Your faithfulness reaches beyond the clouds. Your righteousness is like the mighty mountains. Your justice like the ocean depths. You care for peoples and animals alike. If ever you wanted a scripture to confirm that there's going to be animals in heaven, God cares for people. I mean, he's preparing a place for us. Isn't he going to prepare a place for the animals too? I mean, it speaks about the lamb lying with the lions and the arm. There's going to be animals in heaven. I'm fully persuaded of that. I mean, Jesus is coming back on a horse. Yeah. Yeah, horsepower. So God cares for animals and people alike. Sometimes I wonder, you know, if you look at how we are and how awesome animals are, you can understand why Noah had more animals in the ark than he did have people. But we'll just leave that for another sermon. Oh Lord, how precious is your unfailing love, oh God. All humanity finds shelter in the shadow of your wings. You feed them from the abundance of your own house. How many of you are glad there's abundance in God's house? Hallelujah. Letting them drink from your river of delights. Your river of delights. For you are the fountain of life, the light by which we see. So basically what we want to say from that, what we want to take home from that passage is God's faithfulness stretches beyond the clouds. Stretches beyond the clouds, and your righteousness is like the mighty mountains. So these are the two things we need. God's faithfulness, which is a guarantee, and our obedience. Watch the space. His faithfulness is guaranteed. Even if we're not faithful, His faithfulness is guaranteed. So because you stopped believing, God stopped being God, right? No, it doesn't change. So when man comes along, people say, oh, they changed the Bible. They changed the Word of God. You can't change the Word of God. You can't change. We can misprint books, but you cannot change the Word of God. So when we mess up, when pastors misrepresent Jesus and don't manage churches properly, I like pastors in other churches. Yeah? Ask Bianca, watch him, mate. When we misrepresent Jesus, it doesn't change who He is. That's what excites me. When, sadly it happens, people make mistakes in churches too. When people stumble over each other, on the way to Jesus, it doesn't change who Jesus is. It doesn't change who Jesus is. So daai waar mense die verskoning wil gebruik, ja, ek dien nie die Here nie, ek gaan nie kerk toe nie as gevolg van whatever wie gedoen het, daai kaart kan nie vlieg nie, julle. We can't use that as an excuse. We can't use that as an excuse. So, even when we are not faithful, He remains faithful. Even when I'm not obedient, it does not change who God is. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 13. If we are unfaithful, He remains faithful. Please remember that. For He cannot deny who He is. I love that the Bible says, it says there, speaks about His faithfulness and faithfulness. And it doesn't say He cannot deny what He does. It says He cannot deny who He is. Because the faithfulness of God is not something He does. It's who He is. It's Him. Faithfulness. That's why it doesn't say He cannot deny what He does. He cannot deny who He is. He cannot deny Himself. So when we are unfaithful, He remains faithful. That's good news. Now, our obedience can sometimes fade. Do you agree? How many of you, from the day you gave your heart to Jesus, you've never dropped the ball once? Come on. Come on. And how many of you are going to drop the ball sometime in the future? Come on, be honest. Everybody's hand should be raised. Some of you are like, yay. Ja, dit gaan met jou gebeur, hoor. The wind is going to be taken out of our sails and our bubbles are going to be burst. But God's faithfulness remains. His faithfulness remains. So, that's the good news about this. Our obedience can and will sometimes fade. Times when they fade is when we're tired or distracted. When we're tired or distracted. I don't know about you, but at least once, during these challenging times we've been living in, I've become tired. I've just been tired. Yeah, I'm like, Lord, I'm tired of not being able to get together with my family. I need my peeps in my life. I can't forever do this social media thing. I need this. I'm tired of things not working. I'm tired of people not keeping a word. I'm tired of people not delivering after you've paid them. I'm tired of deadlines not being met. I just moeg, man. I'm tired of being tired. Come in. Son of Ducati's, give him. So I'm tired of that. And I say, I'm tired, Lord. I can become distracted. And I don't want to drop the ball a bit and just become a little bit less obedient. So when we are tired and when we're distracted, we can not be so obedient sometimes. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 36, it says, patient endurance is what you need now, so that you will continue to do God's will. Then you will receive all that He has promised. That like part of their patient endurance, I wish I could just delete it. That's a typo. It says, that's what I need. Patient endurance is what you need right now. Ladies and gentlemen, this season, and that's all it is, it's a season. This season that we are in, that's what we need. That's what we need, patient endurance. Maybe you're at a place where you're trusting God for a miracle, and rightly so. Sometimes there's the only thing that can get us out of unspickle is a miracle. But patient endurance is what we need to get us to that place where we experience these things coming to pass. So sometimes when we're tired, sometimes when we're distracted, we need patient endurance to get us through this thing. Sticking in the book of Hebrews 12, verse 1 to 2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance. There's three types of muscle fibers: speed, strength, and endurance. Depending on what kind of training you do will determine what sport you can perform in. Recently, the guys have just finished the Tour de France. Right now, these last couple of days, has been the Red Bull Romaniacs. And you need serious, serious endurance to be able to complete those events. I mean, you moet 'n machine wees. And depending on what muscle fibers you develop will determine how you perform in certain kinds of sports. The muscle fibers we need right now is the faith muscle fibers of endurance. To just fuss bait. Fuss bait. The training for the task force, we had to, you had to do a 4-day, 200-kilometer hike with no food and water. Just imagine that. Daar's baie van ons wat ons kan nie klaarkom sonder ons aandete vanaand nie. Wat nog van 4 dae sonder brood, sonder kos of water, dan moet jy ganne dra en hulle jy word beproef daarsoor. And you, it's not just a march like yeah, casual stroll like no. You had to carry obstacles and weights. There was this piece of I-beam, like a railway, not I-beam, railway, piece of a railway with 2 metal balls on that was 50 kilograms. You must die in gedraad. 4 days? It's designed specifically so that there's no comfortable way to carry it. Dit was op dag 2, die vastbyt. Nice, nee. Na endurance. Ah, Lord, I've been praying for this for so long, Lord. So, like, Let's look at the endurance that the people in the scriptures went through. You know, say, well, how long is it going to last? How long before things start changing, Lord? I know the answer for that. You want to know what it is? How long is a piece of string? I don't know. It's way above my pay grade. I don't have an answer for that. I don't know how long. I know, just enough, but so often in times in life, we turn around just as we're about to cross over the event strip, just as we're about to break through that, yes, I did it. Do you know that you are all champion swimmers in your own right? Because out of millions and millions of sperms, you made it to your mother's egg. You beat millions and millions of other sperms. Yes. You made it. You're a champion in your own right. You beat millions and millions of other spermies and you made it. Kling! Hallelujah. Come on, man. It says, let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. And how do we do this? We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus. I thought about this. Lord, I've never even seen you, man. Okay, I have actually a part of him. What? But it's not like I'm going to Jesus and looking in his face like right now, you know. But what does it mean, keeping our eyes on Jesus? Simple. Remind yourself of his life and works in the scriptures. And then look at the beauty of faith lived out in your brothers and sisters. We see glimpses of Jesus in each other. No one done. Is it nie so nie? Come on, people. Ja, ons maak droog. Ons maak droog. And, you know, we make mistakes. But we see glimpses of Jesus in each other. And look at his life and his works. And remind yourselves of that in the Word of God. That's how you keep your eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. So, when we are disobedient, God remains faithful. Now, sometimes the promises of God might seem to be taking a long time to come to pass in life. You think for yourself, ja, Mozzie, it's makkelijk om vir jou daar te staan. Jy het 4 weke laas gepreek, man. Nou sê jy vir my, ek moet nog wag. It's easy for you to say that. But sometimes, folks, the promises of God take a long time to come to pass in our lives. I want to say this. Respect and appreciate the process. Respect and appreciate the process. There's a process in that. I'm going to give you some examples. So in Genesis 15 and 16, we see God give Abram a promise. He says, you're going to be the father of nations and your offspring's going to be so great. It's going to be like the multitude of the stars and the sand and the sea. Seashore on the beaches. That's your generation. And Abraham and Sarah decide, ah, oh, come on, man. I'm 100 and Sarah's like 90 plenty and 11.8, 16 and a half. Ooh, how is it possible for us to have children here? So Sarah says to Abraham, hey, man, why don't you conceive a child with my maidservant Hagar over here? They decided to make a plan. And because of that, we are still battling with Islam against the whole world today because they didn't respect the process. Ishmael was born, and Islam was born as a result of that, from that lineage. And this Islam is against anything and every infidels. We're all in, you're an infidel. You're an infidel, according to Islam. Do you know that? That's what you are. You're an infidel. And because of that, tot vandag toe sit ons opgeskep met daai nonsense. All the fighting in the Middle East, all of you think it's about the Gaza Strip and land. It's not. It's not. It's about that. Because Abraham and Sarah decided to make a plan. They didn't respect the process. Don't be tempted to take the easy way out while you're waiting for God's promise to come to pass in your life. Don't be tempted to take the easy way out. You know? Imagine what it was like for Abraham. You know? He schemes, I'm too old, the plumbing doesn't work. Sarah schemes, no ways, I can't give this oak a child. And God comes along and says, we're going to bear a child. Sarah says, yeah, man, make a plan with Hagar over here. Make a plan, man. I wonder what that was like for Abraham. Son, make a plan. Folks, don't be tempted to take the easy way out. Respect the process. Ecclesiastes 11 and verse 1. It's a book we don't often speak from. Prediker, ne? Prediker, hoofstuk 11 and verse 1. It says, this is from the King James. The New King James says it just like this. All right. Cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days. Many of you have thrown pieces of bread to fish in the water and just like let it. What happens to that bread after a while? Breaks and sinks and like disappears if it floats long enough before the fish cups it. But that says, cast your bread on the waters, for after many days it will return to you. What we're trying to say to that? There's a process. Wat jy saai, sal jy maai. What you sow, you will mow. God bless Peter de Waal. What you sow, you will reap. There's a process involved in that. Don't be tempted to take the quick way out. When bread, maybe you've done things in faith right now and you just see, well, it's just like floating there and eventually it's like going to sink and be out of sight and you wonder what's happened. What happened? Heesh, what happened? I don't know what happened, but it's going to come to pass eventually. It will happen. It will happen. So, respect the process. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. The Lord isn't really being slow about His promise. This chapter speaks about the return of Jesus. Think like, yeah, man. They've been saying Jesus is coming for the longest time. Thousands of years now they've been saying Jesus is coming. I'm like, Lord, like now would be good. Like now would really be a good time to pitch up Lord Jesus. And I say that respectfully. It's like, yeah, they've been saying that for the longest time. The Lord isn't slow about His promise, as some people think so. No. He's being patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to be destroyed, but wants everyone to repent. He's giving people a chance. If Jesus comes back now, a lot of us are going to be caught with our pants down. Okay, take your imagine. Get your mind out of the gutter. A lot of us are going to be caught unprepared. A lot of us are going to be caught not ready. Like you're in the kitchen busy preparing the meal and the doorbell rings and the guests have arrived. Ka-ching. Do you have a new picture in your mind now? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So good that we can just be real. God isn't slow concerning His promises. He's not slack concerning. He's giving chance for everybody to repent. And He has this in Mark chapter 4. Verse 35 to 37, Jesus tunes the guys. Guys, get into the boat and we're going to get to the other side. Where was Jesus' mind? Speak to me. On the other side. You see, He saw the end from the beginning. That's how God is. That's why the scripture says that a day is like 1,000 years to God and 1,000 years is like a day, because he's outside of time, space, and matter. He's outside of that. There's not. So God sees the end from the beginning. Okay? So Jesus is. It's got the other side. He mentions nothing about the storm. Van daaraf, to the other side, and tussen hem, what happened? Life. Life happened. I mean, yeah, you think storms breaking out in your life because you've been disobedient. Yeah, I'm a skin. But maybe you're doing exactly what God has told you to do. And guess what? You might find yourself in the biggest storm of your life. Are you being disobedient? No. Respect the process. Respect the process. Jesus wants you to see that in the midst of the storm, He's in the boat of your life. He's in the boat of your life, folks. I mean, they had to learn that and experience that. Then the other time, they in the middle of God's will, a storm breaks out and they see Jesus walking on the water. Respect the process. So He says to them, Mark 4, 35 to 37, as evening came, Jesus said to His disciples, "Let's cross to the other side of the lake." So they took Jesus in the boat and started out, leaving the crowds behind them, although other boats followed. But soon a fierce storm came up. You think to yourself, Mozzie, I've been faithful. I've done what the Lord has told me to do. I'm testifying. I'm witnessing. I'm living a life of integrity and honesty. I'm faithful in the finances that God has entrusted me with. And all of this is going on. High waves were breaking into the boat and it began to fill with water. My brother, my sister, what's the level of water like in your life right now? Maybe it's like, Jesus, help. Help. Maybe you think you see your life slipping away. Jesus had the other side in mind when He said to them, get into the boat. So, I want to ask you this. What's waiting on the other side of your storm? What's waiting on the other side of your storm? Well, if you look at the scripture, what happened, yeah, they got there and they found the man possessed with the demon called Legion. They found more challenges. That's what they experienced. Okay. So, respect the process. What's waiting on the other side of your storm? So, what can help us keep obedient in these times? One of the ways we can do it is remind ourselves of God's faithfulness by thinking of how good God has already been to us in the past. One of the ways we can remain obedient is remind yourself of God's faithfulness on how good He has already been to you in the past. I want to submit to you that in this week alone, there's been several demons that have tried to take you out that you didn't even know about. Guaranteed. Why? Because we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We wrestle against principalities and powers and rulers of forces. In the evil realm, in the heavenlies. That's what we're warring against. I submit to you that demons are trying to take you out. Or maybe they were cheering you on, like, yes, you're on our side. Go, boy. Go, boy. I don't know. I don't know where you're at in your life. I don't know. But one of the ways that we can remain obedient is to remind ourselves of God's goodness and His faithfulness, of how He's already been good to us in the past. That's how we can do that. So, to recap, two things as we close. Two things that we need to make sure that we can survive anything that the devil throws against us. God's faithfulness. Let's start by reminding ourselves of His track record. And number two, our obedience. So, come on, say for oneself, myself, I've been disobedient and I've been unfaithful when God has been faithful. What do we do? That's also easy. Repent. Just repent. Say, Lord, I'm sorry. You know, it's amazing when people want to do things that they know is wrong, how they like try and hide away from other people. It's only like simple. Because God sees it all. And He's already, die planne wat ons maak, om droog te maak, He knows about it. You know, the sin that you've not yet committed, He's there. Guess what? So is His grace. I said, so is His grace. So is His mercy, His love, and His compassion for you. Sometimes, you know, we say, the devil this, the devil that. Man, the devil is busy met ander goed op ander plek. Is hy na by jou nie? Dis jou eie onnooseligheid. He's busy himself droog te maak. Can we just, in humility, come before God and say, God, I'm sorry. Please, let's not pull an Adam on ourselves. What did Adam do? The scripture says that Eve was deceived, not Adam. So God asks him, like, what's going on? You're like having a fruit salad over here. And he says, God, the woman you sent me, she, that, I mean, you sent it to me, God. Hy kon net gesê, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. And ever since then, man's been shifting the blame. Yeah, it's my upbringing, or it's my parents, or we didn't have this, or we had that, or I didn't grow up here. Excuse after excuse after excuse. Kan ons net eienaarskap neem van ons eie nonsens julle? And say, God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. God knows anyway, man. Let's just take ownership of our disobedience. Say, Lord, your faithfulness is there. Let's just bring our obedience into that equation. And watch out, world, because then you become a force of nature to be reckoned with. Let's celebrate God's goodness this morning as we remind ourselves of His goodness. So, and my brother, my sister, I want to be as respectful and sincere as I possibly can. I know that there are people here this morning and folks watching online, even when you do watch this, I hope you do if you're staying out of in-person fellowship, that you're going through some real, real difficult stuff. Probably the biggest challenge of your life so far, where you feel you've gone past breaking point, you just cannot take it anymore. I want to encourage you with what the Scripture says. God is faithful in that with every temptation, He will provide the way out. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. He will not tempt you beyond what you are able to bear. But please, don't add the batteries to the temptation. Don't add the batteries to the temptation. You see, one of the things about temptation, last thought, and because I can just feel another sermon coming on right now. And ons wil motor fietse gaan ry. Somebody once said this to me that really made me realize how desperately I need Jesus. He said this, you cannot be tempted by something that you don't really want. Think about that. As jy glad nie in iets belangstel nie, it's no temptation to you. But if somewhere inside here, there's a little bit of something that wants that, you can be tempted by that thing. And that got me to realize, Mozzie, there's things in this heart where I desperately need Jesus. I desperately need Jesus. So this morning, family, as we pray together, let's celebrate, first of all, God's faithfulness. And then let's say, Lord, I come to you with my disobedience. Help me, Lord, in my time of weakness. Is that okay? Let's pray together, church. Father, we thank you that we could celebrate you this morning. We thank you that we could get together and rejoice over your goodness. And Father, in times when we can't remember, would you, by your Spirit, remind us of how good you've been in the past? Remind us of your faithfulness from the past that will help us be obedient. And then, Father, we ask, Holy Spirit, strengthen me. Personalize the prayer this morning. Strengthen me, Lord. Help me to stay obedient, Lord, to be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And when the temptation comes, Lord God, help me to keep my eyes on you, Lord Jesus. Help me to stand strong. Help me to reach out to somebody if necessary and get a brother or sister to pray with me that I might stand strong in this difficult time. And thank you, Lord God, that when you tell us to go to the other side, you needn't inform us of whatever storms there might be. As long as that you are there in the storm with us, Lord, that's all we need to know. So, Lord God, I pray a blessing over your people this morning as we weather these storms that we are facing. And Lord, there's going to be more. There's going to be more, that's for sure. But you're already there, Lord God. Thank you for your goodness and your faithfulness and your love for us. For those that are discouraged, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you encourage them in the name of Jesus. Remind them how good you've been in the past, Lord. And may we stand strong when we face our battles and our struggles, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name. And all God's people said, amen and amen. May Almighty God bless you and keep you. May God make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God lift up His countenance over you and give you supernatural peace that surpasses all understanding. Enjoy your Sunday. Please stay safe and healthy. And God willing, we'll see each other same time, same place next week. Hallelujah. Bless you.